Let me pray briefly and then we'll dive into God's word and allow him to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we pray now, O God, we come to humble ourselves underneath the power and the authority of your word. And Jesus, you are the word. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. You are our Lord. Oh, God, would you be glorified? Would you stir our hearts? Give us, open our minds. Protect them, Lord, with the truth. God, help us to wage war for our affections towards you, to lift you up, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, we are in the book of Ephesians. If you didn't know that, we've been in it for a few months now. And we're at a point in the book. It's six chapters long. It's a letter written by Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. It's an early church, young Christians. And we're at the point in the book now, we're about halfway through six chapters, where the second half of the letter, it has dawned on me as I've been reading it and rereading it and studying it and trying to figure out what God is saying and what Paul is saying, that it's important to maybe pause, since I don't have a full, 30 or 40 minutes. I'll pause, do a little shorter today, hopefully. But we need to talk about spiritual warfare. Because the rest of the book, the second half of Ephesians, is really in the lens of spiritual warfare. If you are familiar with the famous set of verses, the armor of God, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith and the helmet, right? The belt of truth. That's in Ephesians. That's at the end of Ephesians. And for many years, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't get it. I don't understand why this seems to be randomly kind of plopped into, the end of the letter. But I feel like God sort of, opened my mind that really all of Christian life is spiritual warfare. And I don't know if that's like an easy pill to swallow, because in general, for myself, and probably for you, I would guess, is we like peace. We like peacetime. We like comfort. We don't like a lot of intrusion. We like rhythm. We like predictability. But make no mistake, this is wartime. Okay? And even in the U.S. military or any government, when it's wartime, there's a different type of wartime readiness. You have to live differently when it's wartime. So all of Christian life is spiritual warfare. Every thought, every desire, every action, every relationship, everything that you do has a component of spiritual warfare every day. And that can be daunting. But I believe that's the lens that Paul finishes out Ephesians when he talks about the church. He talks about the new heart. He talks about husbands and wives. He talks about, children and parents and workers and bosses. And he puts it in the lens of spiritual warfare. So today I want to just do sort of like a slight pause just to introduce this concept of spiritual warfare and let it frame the rest of the book for us. Okay? All right. What is it? So let's talk about spiritual warfare. What is it and what is it not? And I want to put, I went camping recently, okay? I want to put three stakes on the ground. So I'm pitching a tent. We're going to live under that tent. Because if you go outside of that tent, it's going to get a little dangerous. So I'm going to pitch the tent and we're going to stake three stakes in the ground to make sure we stay within this triangular boundary of spiritual warfare, okay? Number one, this is an important stake. Well, all three of them are important, but number one. Spiritual warfare is not fought in the physical realm, primarily. Spiritual warfare is fought on the cosmic spiritual battleground between God's people, the church, and the enemy, Satan and his minions. So there's no guns, there's no airplanes, there's no bullets, there's no missiles and tanks and aircraft carriers. This is spiritual warfare. It's not a physical war with physical enemies and physical weapons resulting in physical casualties, although, you know, that can happen. But it's spiritual. There's a spiritual reality in our midst. And in that spiritual warfare, it's primarily, there are lies, there's deception, there's strife, there's division, there's hatred, there's evil, there's darkness. There are demons, and there's demonic activity. There's pride and arrogance and unrighteousness. That's all in the spiritual realm, okay? So this is what Ephesians 6 says at the end of the book. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So the devil is scheming all the time, night and day. For we do not wrestle against the physical world. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay, so number one, spiritual warfare is not fought in the physical realm. It's primarily fought on the cosmic spiritual battleground between God's people, the church, and the enemy. Okay, number two. So that's an important, stake in the ground, okay? We gotta put that stake in the ground and then pitch the rest of the tent. Number two, while spiritual warfare may, in some cases, result in supernatural physical manifestations, that can happen, it has happened. If you read Jesus and all through the Gospels and how he comes face to face with demonic activity, there were in the book of Acts, the apostles were casting out demons because there was demon activity. And there are physical, in some cases, there are physical manifestations of that. So while that can happen, spiritual warfare is primarily, first and foremost, a battle for truth. If you've read the book Bondage Breaker, in the very first chapter, the author says, it's not a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. Okay? Jesus is the truth. But in parentheses, I put goodness, light, love, righteousness. We'll talk about that a little later. But it is primarily a battle for truth fought on the spiritual battleground of your mind and your heart. So, and the reason this is an important second stake is because I do believe in the physical manifestations that can happen. But underneath all that, it's a battle for truth. It's a battle for truth and lies, truth and falsehood, love and hatred, humility versus arrogance, light versus darkness, good versus evil, righteousness versus unrighteousness. And at the foundational layer, it is about truth. And thankfully, Jesus is the truth. Okay? And it happens on the battleground, primarily on the battleground of your heart and your mind. So let me read some verses. Ephesians 4, we're going to read this later today too. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So he doesn't say, tossed to and fro by the waves of guns and bullets and, you know, physical fighting happening. We're not tossed to and fro necessarily by, you know, this demonic, like, physical stuff that's happening, but it's by doctrine. Carried about by winds of doctrine, human cunning, craftiness in deceitful schemes. That's deception. Rather, instead, speaking the truth in love. You fight passing winds of false doctrine, lies and deception, hatred with truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him, into Christ, who is the head. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. That's what we said, right? It's not physical. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. What are the strongholds that we're destroying? Through the power of Christ, that divine power, we destroy arguments, we destroy every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Amazing. Amazing. You see? So there's warfare happening. There are lies and there's deception. There are arguments and lofty opinions coming against the truth of God and the knowledge of God. And God empowers us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, to take thoughts captive, to put them down, to obey Jesus Christ. Amazing. So spiritual warfare is primarily a battle for your heart and your mind and how you think truthfully and lovingly and righteously. Okay, so that's the second stake. Number three. This is important also. Spiritual warfare is not an ongoing battle between evenly matched forces where the outcome is uncertain. Jesus is the king, and he's already victorious. Amen? Jesus has already won. So although Satan has already lost, the enemy's influence under the sovereignty of God remains until Jesus Christ's second coming. So God is not surprised, all right? We need not be concerned that God has somehow lost control of these situations. There's a paradox. Somehow within the sovereignty and the will and the foreknowing of God and His perfect plan, He can allow enemy activity and spiritual warfare for the hearts and minds of His people. So it's not Jesus and Satan duking it out and we're watching it on TV like, oh my gosh, who's going to win? It's not like that. Jesus has won. He has the power and the authority. He is reigning. Satan cannot do anything on his own volition. He is only allowed to do what God allows him to do. So we need not fear, but we need to know how to fight. Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, that through death, through his death, he might destroy the one who has power of death. That is the devil. Through his death, he destroyed the power of death over you. Jesus has conquered. He's alive and he loves you. Colossians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him,
having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And thus, he disarmed the rulers. He disarmed them through his death. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Amazing. Jesus is one. So, those are just sort of like three stakes in the ground. They're sort of meant to be kind of like boundaries. So we don't want to go too far outside those boundaries biblically. All right? If you go past any one of them, you're going to get into a little dangerous territory. But let's define spiritual warfare. All right, for the next 5 to 10 weeks, as we continue to go through Ephesians, let's define it. Okay? So I'm reading some books, and I took a definition that I thought was pretty good, and I adapted it. So I made it my own a little bit, and we can send it out if it's helpful. Spiritual warfare is the battle between truth and falsehood. Lies and deceit, in parentheses. Scripture also characterizes this as the fight for good versus evil, light versus darkness, wisdom versus foolishness, love and humility versus hatred, division, pride, righteousness versus unrighteousness, obedience versus idolatry. It's all connected. Fought by the people of God, the church, against Satan and his minions. And this is one of the important parts for today. For the purposes of worship. Ordering one's life around who or what has the highest value in your heart. Right now, everyone in this room and everyone in the globe is worshiping someone or something. There is something that you hold of great, highest value in your heart. Spiritual warfare is a battle for your affection. It's a battle for your heart. Whether Jesus reigns or something else reigns in your heart. Like Chris said when he prayed, you cannot serve two masters. For the purposes of worship and to put Jesus Christ at the center of every heart in the kingdom of God, for his glory and our greatest and most fulfilling joy. So spiritual warfare is this cosmic battle of truth and lies, good versus evil, light versus darkness, righteousness versus unrighteousness, for the purpose of putting Christ and exalting him in your heart. It's worship. That he would be the most valuable person in your entire life, of more value than your children, of more value than your family, of more value than your spouse, your job, your money, your possessions, your reputation, even your sin and your brokenness, your shame and your guilt, your past, your future, all that you hope for. Christ wants to be lifted up. So spiritual warfare is not fighting for fighting's sake. It's fighting to exalt Christ in your heart. He must increase, we must decrease. We used this analogy a few years ago. I'm going to use it again. But I recently heard it in like a seminary class. So it's not only our analogy. I think it's a pretty common analogy. But if Jesus Christ is the center and the sun of the solar system, we're all planets. And the sun is so large, it's so massive, it has so much gravitational pull that it demands the planets to revolve. Now, what happens if you take Earth and you put it in the middle? What do you think would happen? Earth is relatively small, by the way. Chaos. Disorder. There would be no pull. But that's what we try to do, isn't it? That's where sin and the desires of our hearts wage war with against the lies of the world, the lies of the enemy, the lies even within our own hearts. Because in our sin, in our old nature, that remnant nature, we're trying to take the sun out of the center and put the earth in the center, which is us. And then we're surprised that there's so much chaos. I'm so surprised that I don't have enough orbit to keep the planets aligned. Chaos, things fall apart. So there's only one sun. There can only be one sun in the center. That's worship. We are all here to worship Jesus Christ, to make much of him, only him, all for him. So spiritual warfare is a battle for worship in your heart. And you can bet that Satan and the enemy, the lies of this world, the lies at work, the lies when you're driving to work, the lies when you open an internet browser, the lies when you look at your phone, it's everywhere. And here's the thing that dawned on me. I used to call that noise as if it's like neutral noise. It's not noise. It's an attack. Every day when I wake up and I step foot out of my bed, there's a war waging for my mind and my heart and my affection for Jesus Christ. That's spiritual warfare. And it's a battle in the spiritual realm. And Jesus Christ died on the cross. He put death to death. He conquered the enemy. But again, there's this mystery. He leaves us here. We have so much to learn. We have so much to grow in. And it's in the context of spiritual warfare. And God doesn't leave us helpless. He empowers us. He empowers us by the Spirit of God. He empowers us by the Word of God. He empowers us in prayer to fight truth, fight with truth against those lies, to fight with love. Someone said it earlier, perfect love drives out fear. So we have truth, we have love, we have righteousness. So that we would worship him. This is a war for your heart and my heart. To be wholly surrendered to Jesus Christ. All right. So let me close out, but let me quickly hit. So that's just like a very, very high level introduction to spiritual warfare. Just introducing the concept, putting some stakes in the ground, make sure we don't get a little too wild, okay? And that's going to set us up for the next 6 to 10 weeks or so as we finish out Ephesians, because it's in that context. All of Christian life is in the context of that warfare. But let me read Ephesians 4. Let's continue in the text. And I want to show you in the text, when you look at it with that lens, he does talk about truth. He does talk about love. He does talk about deception. He does talk about lies. So let's read. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is God's word. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip. Remember last week we talked, that was to prepare, to mature, to bring to completion, to prepare the saints, you all, for the work of ministry, which last week we defined as service, diakonia, laying down your life in the labor of love, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, service, and laying down your life in love for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That sounds like truth. That sounds like wisdom, right? So we're driving towards, so as you are equipped for service and laying down your life and sacrifice and loving one another and laboring in that love, it's building up the body of Christ and it's driving towards a unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, of truth, of wisdom, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children. Manny and Elijah, you're no longer children, right? Tossed, because what happens? Not to talk bad about children, I've got children of my own, right? But children are apparently tossed to and fro. It's an analogy, right? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, every thought, every human cunning, every human philosophy, every worldly and secular idea of what's valuable and worthy in this lifetime. It's tossing us to and fro, especially in Northern Virginia. Tossed to and fro by the waves carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. There are schemes going on here. You can bet your life that the enemy is planning, strategizing all day, every day, in how to steal your affection, how to put the earth in the middle, put yourself in the middle, and to remove the sun. Promising a false promise of joy and happiness. Sounds like lies. Sounds like falsehood. Sounds like deceit, worldly wisdom, darkness. Rather, speaking the truth. So now this is Paul encouraging us. Well, what do we do in that context? Rather, so instead, let's speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint. Okay? The hands, the wrist, the elbow, the ligaments, the shoulder, right? It's all joined together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. When it's working properly and it's joined together, it makes it grow and it builds itself up in love. So here's what we need to take away just for today from here. And I've said it again before, but let me just say it from the text. As soon as you walk out of this door, and every day that you wake up, and every day that I wake up, we are going to face huge crashing waves that are going to seek to toss us to and fro, full of lies, deceit, falsehood, evil, and darkness. Schemes of deception that are seeking to stir your old heart. Christ is trying to put that old heart to death. He has, and He will, but the enemy is trying to stir that old heart, those desires that are flowing out of that old heart, the desires that are there, let's be honest, right? For evil, for darkness, for glory. I want to be in the middle. I want to put the earth in the middle of the solar system. That's just my tendency in the old nature, my old heart. So you got to be ready. So the rest of the book talks about how to fight this spiritual warfare in different ways. But the body of Christ is also, and this is the point I think of this text, the body of Christ works together to fight. Okay? So there's two things in this text, in this section of text, there's two specific things actually that the church is doing, that the local assembly and the body of Christ is doing. One thing they're doing, we talked about this last week, they're laboring in love. They're serving and laying down their lives. They're being equipped for the work of the ministry, for the building up and the strengthening of the body of Christ, to resist and fight back against evil. That's one thing they're doing. The second thing they're doing is they're speaking truth in love. There are fragrant words of truth coming out with love for the building up of the body of Christ. Let me read two verses just to show that. So to equip the saints for the work of ministry or service, for building up the body of Christ, that's verse 12, and then verse 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love. So Paul is starting to get into spiritual warfare, and he's starting to give us tactics and moves. More moves, right? More moves to fight. To fight the schemes of the enemy, to fight the darkness in our hearts. Laboring in love for the work of service and laying down our lives for the building up of the body of Christ. Speaking truth in love. I had to think about that. I was like, wow, you know, when I really take some inventory, are the words that are coming out of my mouth to my wife, to my children, to you all, is it a fragrance of truth and love? We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. And then when we do those things, you see that the body begins to join together, right? They're equipped, they're joined together, it's working properly so that it builds itself up in love. So the labor of love, serving and laying down our lives in love and speaking truth in love, fragrant words of truth and love, builds up and strengthens the body of Christ for warfare. Victory, freedom, truth, joy, love, and ultimately worship to lift up Jesus Christ. Because He is the truth. So I hope you see the analogy. Every body part. I'm so glad that every part of my body is working to serve every other part of my body. My liver is doing a great job right now. Okay, we'll see in the future, right? But right now, my liver is doing a pretty good job doing what the liver is supposed to do. All right, my toes are in pretty good shape. My fingers are okay, right? My elbow and my neck, my red blood cells, my immune system, my skeletal system, right? They're serving the body. They're serving one another, and it strengthens up the body of Christ. Ready to steady the ship as those waves come. The waves of lies, the waves of deceit. Every day, okay? So let's bow our heads, let's pray, and let me invite John back up, and just as we pray, we're going to continue to talk and pray and work through Ephesians and spiritual warfare. We're going to learn what it means to put on the armor of God. We're going to learn what it means to fight defensively and offensively. We're going to learn about the helmet of salvation. We're going to learn about peace and joy. We're going to learn about the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. But it's all for Jesus Christ to be worshipped. It is a war for your heart. Is it a war? It's a war for your affection. And Jesus Christ has won. But we need to know what it means to fight. We need to be equipped. We need to be strengthened. So let's pray. And I would just invite you to pray just right now, just and ask God to open your eyes and your mind and your heart to the lies of the enemy all around you. The lies that are robbing you of joy. The lies that are not true. God loves you. That is true. Jesus Christ died for you. That is true. He covers all your sin and all your shame. That is the truth. You have everything that you need, nothing more, nothing less, in Jesus Christ. It's perfect. Everything you have is perfect. That's the truth. Okay. So let's pray and let's ask God to just reveal the lies that are swirling all around us. And let's ask God, let's lean on the church, let's use the Word of God, let's lean on the Spirit of God to fight for truth and for worship. Let's pray.